Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together. Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. We are your hosts, Shanna and Kristen, and we are continuing our doctrine series. What's up, friend?
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good, pretty good. How's life?
Oh, not too bad. Don't mind my voice. I'm getting over what started as a cold and then has morphed into allergies. So that's always fun, but I can, for the most part, breathe out of or breathe through my nose, both nostrils. So that's exciting. I mean, that's better than
the little things
last week. Yeah. I mean, you take breathing through both nostrils for granted when you can do it all the time. And then your nose blocks up and you're like, man, that would be really nice. Anyways, that was more than you all needed to know about me. Sometimes I forget that this is a podcast going out to other people and it's not just you and I sitting here talking.
From what I hear, though, I think people really like that because we're
ourselves. I feel like that makes us relatable, maybe.
Yeah. So you can breathe out of your nose.
I can breathe out of my nose. Super exciting. Let's see. Since we last talked, what has happened? More wedding planning, of course. I got my invitations in, actually was just stuffing them in envelopes earlier as we were chatting beforehand, before hitting record.
That's what you were doing. I was wondering.
I was just stuffing the envelopes. I was like, well, I might as well do this. And then just kind of some other few things. I think we've gotten all of our vendors booked and everything for it. So that's exciting. Mm-hmm. But then other than that, it's just been, we celebrated Matthew's birthday on Sunday. So we went out to dinner Sunday night, and then we went out with his parents Saturday night. And Friday night, we had one of my nephew's basketball games that we went to Friday night. It's been lots of basketball this last weekend. I was there Friday night, and then Monday night, and then Tuesday night. But I think that's the end of basketball for me.
It's baseball
now,
season.
Exactly. Now we get into baseball season. Well, that's what, so they both played on varsity and but last night was the JV team was playing in their tournament. And right after the game, they had to go to baseball practice. So they play for a homeschool team because their school doesn't have a baseball team. So they get to play for the homeschool team. And the benefit for the homeschool team is that they can start their practices super late because none of them have to wake up really early to go to school.
It's true.
Except for the boys that like go to MCA. So
yeah,
their baseball practice was from 9 p.m. to 10:30 on a Tuesday night. So they were
tired boys today,
and they were changed into their ball uniforms, and it was all exciting to think of another season of baseball.
It's here.
How are you doing?
You know, I'm okay. It's a busy week. My husband left for Europe for 2 weeks, and an event that I am kind of overseeing is happening Friday night. And so, you know, I'm like homeschooling my kids, and when they go to bed, I work on this event. And it went from like what we guessed would be around 50 kids to like now we have a wait list because there's so many kids coming, which I'm so pumped about.
Yeah, that's really
exciting. I don't want to have a wait list. Like, let all the kids come.
But volunteers.
and there's reasons.
Logistical reasons to need to have a wait list, right?
Hurts my heart a little bit, but yeah. And so I'm really pumped about it. I'm really tired.
Yeah. And so, that's okay.
Yeah, it is okay. But my can I just tell you, my kids have been so great because a couple of days I've had to be at the church for hours and hours. And today I was there from 8:30 until 2, and they are just like amazing. And the people at my church just love them, like kids in general. And it's so sweet just to like, someone today was like, can your kids have king cake? And I was like, you would be their favorite person if you gave them king cake, like just loving on them. So my kids tonight, they were like, are we going to church tomorrow? And I was like, no, buddy, we're going to go Friday. And he's like, I love going up there. And I was like, I hope that it is always how you feel.
Right.
Well, we're going to stay home tomorrow.
And your kids are very much like go with the flow type of kids, which is really good. So it allows them to be a little bit out of their normal routine and be able to do things like that.
Yeah. So. I mean, we may be schooling in June, but
that's the beauty of homeschooling, right?
Oh, I will die for schooling in June.
We will be done
by your wedding. That's my goal.
That at least by my wedding.
That's right. Oh, well, man.
That's funny.
Well, hey, how's your Bible reading going?
Thanks for that lead in. We talked about this and I was like, you know, this week has really been rough and I am behind on my Bible reading. So, but that is okay. The plan is to hop back into it tomorrow and slowly catch back up. And so my update for Bible reading is not so great. I mean, I know we're in Leviticus and that was last week.
Indeed we are.
So I'm like, I don't know, 5-6 days behind, almost a full week. It's been a doozy.
It's okay. The plan, thankfully, is only giving us like 2 chapters in Leviticus.
Oh, yeah.
They're probably like, that's all you can take.
That's all you really need. Yeah.
So really you can get caught up really easily, or at least dive back in where you are. Like,
yeah. And that's my plan, is to like dive back in really, you know, and get caught back up. Yep. And continue on.
Yeah.
So that's my Bible reading update. How's it going for you over
there? It's a great update.
Thanks. Thanks.
It's going well. I'm reading it.
Wow. Wow.
That's already asked me to be a matron of honor. You're not taking
it away. I can replace you.
No, that hurt. It's going well. It's interesting because I know we talked about this a little bit and I was talking to my husband about it before he left. Is I kind of like every time, like Leviticus, Numbers, like I kind of just, it's one of those things you just kind of
grin and
put your head down and yes, and you just get through it. And I am enjoying it so much.
Good.
Leviticus, I think when you look at it like through a different lens of like scripture interpreting scripture and how so much of this foreshadows Christ, right? Mm-hmm. It's been really interesting. And just like, you know, a lot of it's supposed to be weighty, like the sacrifices and everything that they had to do it's supposed to be weighty. I don't know. I really enjoy it and how like it just points back to Jesus and how he really just bridged that gap between like God's holiness and like the requirements that God had on his people, mm-hmm. and that it's all met and fulfilled in Christ. And so I don't know. I'm really enjoying it. I think we're on like, as of tonight, chapter 25 or 26. And so, I'm noticing like themes. I think really annotating Jen Wilkin. Can't believe I said that. I've never enjoyed annotating and it's like her favorite thing, but I've been trying and, really highlighting themes and patterns that I'm noticing and like how many times he's like, I'm the Lord, your God, over and over again. I'm the Lord, your God. I brought you out of slavery from the Egyptians, just over and over, like constantly reminding them, like you're doing this unto me, you know? And so, I never thought I'd be like, I really enjoy Leviticus, but here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are. You want my segue for this? It just came to me. We're in Leviticus. Okay. We're talking about God's holiness and our uncleanliness and all of this. You see where I'm going here?
Mm-hmm.
And today, what's our doctrine on, Kristen?
It's the doctrine of sin.
The doctrine of sin.
That was right. A good segue.
I tried.
It was impressive.
I was like, hey,
y'all, we are so professional here. We didn't even plan that.
I love this for us. Okay. last episode, we talked with Nathan about the doctrine of humanity. Mm-hmm. Being made in the Imago Dei, everything, all of our doctrines, we are doing with intentionality according to how they're seen in scripture. So mm-hmm. you see, before you see the doctrine of sin, you see the doctrine of humanity, that we are made in God's image, that we were created to glorify him, to rule, subdue, multiply, be fruitful, multiply. And so we see that in the doctrine of humanity, and then we get into the doctrine of sin. So do you want to give us our definition that we have for the doctrine of sin?
Yes, absolutely. So for the doctrine of sin, we would define it as humanity by nature and apart from Christ is broken by sin, declared unrighteous, separated from God, under judgment of God against sin, and destined for hell. Sin has fractured all things, leaving the world in desperate need of salvation.
Yeah, I know you and I kind of went back and forth on this
definition. I was about to say that.
Yeah.
I was like, your first
mine was way nicer.
Was so basic. And she was like, what about this for a definition of the doctrine of sin? And it was, while true, I wish I had kept it. It was what, a week ago. I wish I had kept it, but it was very basic. It was true. But it was very basic.
I think I wrote it
and
down.
I came back and I was like, that's good. And she was like, well, and I think you could tell that I was just like, I mean, it's good.
Yeah.
But then you came back and we're like, well, I can go more. And I said, okay, so if you were going to go like all out,
yeah,
how would you define it? Mm-hmm. Because I don't think we've been quiet about this. Shanna does a lot of the note-taking. For me, I would just sit here and talk, but for Shanna, she needs the notes. And so she does a lot of the note-taking for us, and kind of structuring our episodes, which is fantastic because if it were just up to us, we'd be popping all over the place. Like we would not be focused. We would end up in all kinds of other different places because that's
another segue. Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be like, we'd end up in like, I don't know, some other doctrine, like the doctrine of the Holy Spirit eventually. Like, yeah. Okay, this is where we're
at. Lot happens between now and then. And like right now, back to the doctrine of sin.
Yeah, I know.
Yes. So this is the definition that we are going with. We are affirming, and this is where we land. I think before we get into this episode, it's really important to say like, we will be talking about some things that not everyone agrees with. I think the doctrine of sin, especially today, and I think honestly, I just think it's social media and people can love to argue online, but
no,
I know, but it can be one of the more divisive topics. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which, yeah, everyone would agree that there's sin in the world. Just nuancing it out, which is what we're going to do.
Right. Exactly.
So,
and
yeah.
You having said that, like we are going to use some terms that, and we'll try our best to explain them, what we mean by those, like by that term. But also recognize that as you're listening to this, if you think, I don't know if I agree with those girls on that, that's perfectly fine. Like mm-hmm. that is okay to not agree with us. We're not saying, because there are many other people that don't agree with us. Mm-hmm. And so, but we just
scholars disagree on this.
Yeah, exactly. People that are much smarter than you or I. Yeah. So why we think that we would be able to, you know, explain it all and corner the market on it, we definitely can't. But as you said, it's our podcast. So we get to, mm-hmm. you know, land where we land and explain why. And kind of be able to tease out a little bit more of this doctrine of sin and the ramifications that it has.
And we are scripture heavy in this episode because I feel like all doctrine should be based on scripture. So, just warning you ahead of time. We'll try to put those in the show notes as well. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's get back to doctrine of sin. So we have said what we believe sin is. And this is one thing that, like, when I'm talking to my kids, I said, you know, sin is not just the bad things we do. Like, you're not sinning just because you do something bad. It's why we do it. Mm-hmm. It's the wicked nature that all humans are born with. So sin, my daughter would tell you, sin starts in our hearts and comes out in our actions. So sin is not just telling a lie, or sin is not just stealing or whatever. It's a heart issue first and foremost. And so, you know, God's law expresses his own righteousness and is the ultimate standard for our behavior. And so by missing that, by missing the mark, that's what sin is really. It's just missing,
I was gonna say, missing the mark. That's what it is. That's what it is described as in, you know, or in the original language is what it means, is missing the mark. Mm-hmm. So when, yeah, like you said, when we miss that standard, that's sin. Like that is the definition of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so going in line with our doctrine series, spoiler alert, if this is the doctrine of sin, our next episode will be the doctrine of salvation. And so it's important to get this right though, because your doctrine of sin determines your doctrine of salvation,
mm-hmm.
which is a really big deal. All right. You ready to get into like some nuts and bolts here?
Yeah.
Okay. Kristen and I affirm and hold to original sin. Do you want to tell, for those who don't know,
yeah,
what is original sin?
So original sin is a term that defines the nature of mankind's sinful condition because of Adam's fall. So we all enter the world guilty before God. Original sin, it shows that we sin because we are sinners, entering this world with a corrupt nature and without hope apart from the saving grace of God in the gospel. So it's not that we enter neutral, as you know, your kids would say, we don't enter neutral and then choose sin. It's that we enter this world as sinners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you ready for a history lesson? I love history lessons. Some people are going to just like not enjoy this, but also it's my podcast. So there are usually two camps that people fall into when it comes to original sin. And so you'll hear of, especially if you are on Twitter at all, you'll hear people talk about Pelagius and Augustine. So they would say it's Pelagianism and Augustinianism, which is a tongue twister.
Say yeah, it is.
Augustinianism. So who are these men? So Pelagius was a bishop in England, and he believed that Adam was able to not sin after the fall, that his nature, after he disobeyed God, that his nature did not change. And he also believed that sin is transmitted through imitation, which is kind of what you were talking about earlier, how people, children or whatever, sin because they see other people sinning.
Mm-hmm.
That's Pelagianism. He would say that.
It was not that I was saying that that is what we believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, let me clarify.
You were
that.
Saying that some people.
That some people believe that.
Yes. 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 Please clarify. I don't need excerpts taken here. So if we go back to what we said earlier, that your doctrine of sin determines your doctrine of salvation, then what he is saying is that we don't need a savior. We just need a good person to imitate.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can just imitate a good person, not that we are in desperate need of a savior. And so he would say that the gospel makes bad people good. Okay. So listeners, hold that thought and for 1 second, because I'm going to talk about Augustine for a second. And I'm going to remember, Pelagius would say the gospel makes bad people good. So Augustine, he was a bishop in North Africa. And he believes that we're not able to not sin. We are born sinners. We are born, as my kids would say, hearts that are sick with sin.
Mm-hmm.
We are not able to not sin. And he believed that whatever, like what God gave life to, sin gave death to, which we see in scripture, that God did for us that we could not do for ourselves. And so if your doctrine of sin determines your doctrine of salvation, then God did for us what we could not do for ourselves. Now, this is what I was referring to earlier. Whereas Pelagius would say, the gospel makes bad people good. Augustine would say, the gospel makes dead people alive. Hmm. It takes your heart of stone and turns it into a heart of flesh. So I thought that when I was studying these probably 5 years ago, I was like, wow, like that was a really big deal. And not only that, but how much of Pelagianism has infiltrated our churches now.
Right.
And a lot of people don't even know it.
Yeah. Because I mean, we want to feel that mm-hmm. we are born good and then learn to sin and imitate mm-hmm. because of people around us. My struggle with it is, and I'll reiterate this at the end as well. My struggle with it is that I don't see it clearly taught in scripture, and that's where, you know, that's my struggle is that I don't see that we are taught that we are born good. And then just by influence or because we see other people sinning, that then we sin by following them and imitating them. Mm-hmm. What we do see, I think, is clear through scripture is exactly that we were dead. I mean, that is language that is used all throughout scripture, that we were dead in our sins, that we are not able to do mm-hmm. anything but sin. mm-hmm. And so God did for us what we could not do for ourselves.
Yeah. And I think you see, I'm going to let you lead this next part, really, because I really like listening to you read scripture a lot. I think I've said that before. Yeah. But we do see a parallel in scripture a lot with Adam and Christ, right? And they're both representatives. And so, yeah, I'm going to let you lead this part because I really just want to sit here and listen to you read some scripture to me. But
all right. So, like we said, this is going to be very scripture heavy. But that's important because we don't form our doctrines based on logic and reason. Mm-hmm. We form our doctrines based on scripture and what is taught in scripture. And so we want to make sure that we are backing up for why we have landed here. And these are the scriptures for why that we believe mean and inform the way mm-hmm. we believe the doctrine of sin plays out. So a lot of this comes from Romans 5. So Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Mm-hmm. Romans 5:14, and we'll go back and I think talk and tease some things out because mm-hmm. there are some things that I wanted to say, but I think it's good to have kind of read through the scriptures and then go back to that. Romans 5:14 says, yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come.
Who's that, Kristen? Who's the one to come?
It's Christ.
It's Christ.
Okay. It's Jesus. it's the Sunday school answer, right? Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus.
Romans 5:18 says, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Mm. And then 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Mm-hmm. So there's this, like you said, scripture shows like this aspect of these two representatives, right? Adam mm-hmm. being the one that because of Adam's sin, sin entered into the world. And that's one of the things I'm going to read just straight from this article. I said that I wasn't going to. And then as we were talking about it, I was like, no, I need to. And in all honesty, Shanna told me in the beginning, she was like, you need to read that.
Yeah.
So in this article, it says, I'll post this in the show notes if you guys want to go back and read this article. It is a fantastic read. It is a long read, when it comes to articles, but it's a really great read. It says, through this one man, says Paul, sin entered into the world. Literally, sin invaded the world. This does not mean Adam was the first sinner. Eve was. It does not mean that sin began its existence at that time in the Garden of Eden. Paul says sin entered, not that it began to be. Sin already existed as a result of Satan's rebellion. This text speaks of sin's inaugural entry into the world of humanity. Sin, therefore, is portrayed as an intruder. It was not a constituent element in the original creation. So that was one thing that I read, and I was like, oh, wow, that idea of that, like, sin already existed. It didn't begin to exist because
it's rebellion against God.
Right, exactly.
Which because Satan did.
Adam sinned. It was not like the beginning of sin. It's the beginning of sin in this world. Mm. And it's a very selfish thought to think that Adam was the first one to sin, you know, the first one that sin began because Adam sinned. Mm. The other portion that I wanted to read is this next part. It says, the next important phrase reads, and death through sin. So again, referring back to Romans 5, verse 12. The next important phrase reads, and death through sin. Paul's point is that sin is the cause of death. Thus, death is a penal evil. It is punishment. Death was not inevitable for Adam and Eve. It was the punishment for rebellion. And death in scripture may be portrayed in three ways. There's first of all, spiritual death, the alienation of the soul from God, and the subsequent spiritual corruption of the whole person. Second is physical death, which needs no explanation. Finally, there is the second death, which is the perpetuation of spiritual death into eternity. The second death entails eternal separation and alienation from God. The remedy for spiritual death is regeneration or the new birth. The remedy for physical death is the bodily resurrection. There is no remedy for the second death. It is irredeemable, irrevocable, and eternal.
Wow, that's really good. I love the idea when you're talking about such a weighty topic, right? Of seeing how Adam and Christ were representatives for their people. Adam in sin and Christ in righteousness, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all those verses that you read, it's just over and over, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men. Mm-hmm. So one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. But there is some questions when we're talking about original sin. And I'm sure there's lots of questions, but there's two that I want to talk about. And one is, why is sin universal among men and women? If Adam's sin did not make all mankind sinners, then we would expect some to at least not sin, right? Mm-hmm. But we see in scripture in 1 Kings, Solomon prayed, there is no one who does not sin. And the same thing in Romans. You see that again in Romans 3:23. Right?
For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
For all have sinned. But if you were possible to not sin, surely
I'm trying to think of the word that I'm looking for. In all of time.
I'm thinking of like monks secluded.
Right. Exactly.
Away from like
there
everything.
Would have been one person that would have been able to choose not to sin. Now, we know that there was one person that was perfect and only one person.
Yeah.
But that was because he was fully God and fully man, right?
And because sin nature has passed through Adam.
Right.
And so he had was the Holy Spirit and Mary, you know, not Joseph and Mary.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is really interesting. Well, Kristen, some people would say that sin is just a passive defect. Like it's just like a passive defect and that there's no corrupting power in man. Like it doesn't corrupt you. You don't have a wicked nature. What would you say to that?
I would say that the Bible definitely says to the contrary, that sin is a deadly power and it holds the sinner in bondage. Jesus himself in John 8 says, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. And we see that same language echoed throughout the New Testament about being that you are no longer a slaves to sin, but a slaves to, but slaves to Christ, right? Like that is what, you know, Paul said, I believe it's Paul that says that, that you are no longer a slave to sin, but a slave to Christ. So I think that would pretty easily answer that question, that it's not just a passive defect that, oh, it's just, you know, something that I do, but it is literally a corrupting thing that has corrupted any and everything.
Yeah. You know, Augustine, another thing that he would say is that humans are kind of built or like bent in onto like on themselves, you know, and Paul, when we are saying that we are born with a sin nature, Paul says that too in Ephesians. He says, by nature, children of wrath.
Right.
So there are so many different opinions on the doctrine of sin. And that's fine if people have them. I just need to see it in scripture, because all I see over and over and over and over again is that we are born, as my kids would say, with hearts that are sick with sin, and that needed a savior, needed redemption. If we're all by nature children of wrath, like we see that all in scripture again. We see it in Romans 3, right? 10 through 12. None is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. Not even one. And then we talk about earlier, one of our definitions that we talked about with sin is that it's not the bad things we do. It's why we do them. It starts in our hearts and comes out in our actions. And we see in Jeremiah that the heart is deceitful above all things. So,
which is why literally say, apart, follow from your heart. That's the worst thing you could do.
Terrible, terrible advice. Terrible advice. But just this idea of original sin, it provides the basis for a true understanding of ourselves as fallen humans. And I think in order, we said this last season, in order to see God, like in order to see ourselves rightly, we have to see God rightly. It's also vice versa. In light of who God is, we see ourselves.
Right.
And so this knowledge that we are fallen humans is essential for those who would be saved through the gospel of Jesus Christ. What did you say before we got on? You were like, we were talking about this and you were like, we were talking about Adam and Christ and you were like, oh, people that, love the idea.
Right. That it's just interesting to me when we're talking about original sin, and for those that don't hold to original sin, because they would say like, how could I be responsible for something that someone did in the past that like I had no bearing to
how
do anything
fair?
With that. Like, how is that fair? How should I be responsible for the sin that Adam and aren't willing to, you know, take that imputed judgment, really, the imputed sin, but are perfectly fine accepting the imputed righteousness that Christ gives us. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Christ died on the cross, not for anything he did, but for our sins. But that we're totally fine, you know, being able to say, yes, I want
I'll
that.
Take like, this.
I'll take that. I didn't do anything to deserve that. Yeah. The only thing I contributed to this was the sin. But that is okay. I'll take that, even though I had nothing, you know, to do with that, but not the original sin from Adam. It's just kind of one of those inconsistencies for me. That baffles me sometimes.
Yeah. I think, you know, it teaches original sin teaches us to despair of all hope in ourselves, right? Like that's the whole thing. If I can make the choice to be good, like I don't need a savior to save me. It's just a choice that I make. But we can't, we have to rely on Christ and on his finished work and on the gospel. Right. So like I said earlier, Augustine said the gospel makes dead people alive. And so, although dead men are unable of themselves to rise from the grave of their fallen state, God is able by his grace to make us alive together with Christ. We see that in Ephesians 2. One of my favorite sayings, and I know you love this as well. I don't remember. I think it was R.C. Sproul maybe, but I honestly don't remember, but it stuck with me. And it's, we are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. Before sin is an action, it's a state of existence.
Mm-hmm.
That's who we are. Yeah. At our core, that's who we are. We sin because that's our nature to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hot. Sorry. I'm over here like fanning myself.
It's fine. I was just thinking through that and how you had said, like, you'd already teased, hey, we're doing the doctrine of salvation next. And you had even said, you're like, we're going to leave with that tension, right? Like, mm-hmm. we've talked about, and that's one of the criticisms that I hear about original sin is that it has such a negative self-view and mm-hmm. we're nothing but dirty, rotten sinners. And just like, and I will say sometimes the, in an effort to combat the, oh, everyone is mostly good. Everyone's born good. In an effort to combat that, some scholars have gone maybe a bit too far in the way they've described. I've just have seen different things. I can't even remember. I've just seen different mm-hmm. quotes that people have said about, like, oh, I feel bad, like comparing human. Hold on, there's a train. So if you hear it, sorry, but comparing humankind, I also have the windows open because it's 70 degrees in February.
Hey.
But comparing humankind or mankind to rats and then saying, like, but I pity the rats to be compared to mankind, you know, mm-hmm. those kinds of things that trying to, in an effort to get across the solemnness and seriousness of what it is to be born dead in your sins. Sometimes they go a little too far. Mm-hmm. But the Bible takes sin seriously because it takes God seriously mm-hmm. and it takes human beings seriously. And what I kept thinking as we were talking through this is like, but there's hope, right? Like, and we will get to the hope aspect, but it's good to sometimes sit in the tension, as you say, and kind of recognize just how serious sin is. Because if sin isn't taken seriously, then there's no need for a savior, right? Like, if yeah. sin is just this flippant thing that we can just choose in our own power to do or not do, then I feel like Christ's death on the cross is a bit overkill. Let's be honest, like, if that were the case, if I could just choose on my own, I feel like that makes, like,
mm-hmm.
that death on the cross a bit overkill. You know, yeah. it's a bit much. But and so it's just, there is hope, and we'll talk about that in the next episode. But
yeah.
now we get, hopefully we've been able to think through and think through of what sin is and how that impacts our lives and how original sin mm-hmm. impacts your doctrine of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything else before I wrap up?
No, I was just thinking how this, the doctrine of sin, not to start a whole nother segue here, but how like, how the doctrine of sin affects what we talked about last time, the doctrine of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I see a lot of people, a lot of times, especially in this love yourself era that we're in, like, how the two, we're made in God's image, all human beings, all mankind, and their dignity, honor, and respect. People are worth dignity, honor, and respect. Emma will tell you, I am worth dignity, honor, and respect, and I will give dignity, honor, and respect to others. So we are not saying
right.
that.
Yes, no.
You know what I'm trying to get at right now? Right. Like, oh, wretched, you're just going to hear all the time how terrible you are. Well, I don't know. I'm trying to get you to see, in relation to a holy God, you're born a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that you're not worth dignity, honor, respect because you're made in God's image. You absolutely are. But you are still a sinner in need of a savior, and you were born that way. So yeah, I was just trying to think of how the two goes together. So
yeah, absolutely. But
there's good news coming.
There's good news coming. And I think ultimately what I wanted to leave with was even if you disagree with us, that is totally fine. Mm-hmm. Even if you're not sure, if there's some things that you're like, I agree with that, but I'm not sure if I agree with that. That's fine. Okay. What I would just encourage you to do is to make sure that wherever you do land is because scripture says it. Mm-hmm. And I know I said it earlier, not because logic and reason says it. Mm-hmm. Because we can't build our doctrines off of what feels right to us and what seems logical to us. Because there's a lot that we're going to get into in our doctrine series that doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. not completely logical sense in our brains. Mm-hmm. And so just make sure that wherever you do land, that it is based on scripture, that you search, look up the scriptures that we have read. We can't, unfortunately, I would love to sit here and read the entirety of Romans 5, 12 mm-hmm. through like 20 something. Mm-hmm. We just don't have the time. But read it and
in context.
See if in context and see if that's, if you think that we're completely taking it out of context, send us an email. We'd love to hear it. Mm-hmm. We will probably come back with that, not come back at you, but you know, yes.
With a response, though.
Respond. We'll respond
in charity,
be able to defend. Yes.
Because we I'm all about you, charitable
love and respect.
Yes.
And, not attacking people. That's one thing, you know, as you have these discussions, if you do have these discussions, make sure that, you know, as you're interacting with these things and interacting with people that disagree with you, that you're not attacking the person, that you are defending where you stand. And that's kind of why we wanted to go through this doctrine series, right? To give you some things to start thinking through and so that you can determine where it is that you stand and so that you can defend that too. So all that to say, make
sure
it's rooted in scripture. Yeah. Make sure it's rooted in mm-hmm. scripture. And that is your ultimate authority and you'll be good.
Yeah.
We did it. All right. Well, like we said, next episode, we get to do, the doctrine of salvation.
Yeah.
As always, the plug, we have merch out there and check out our website because it's pretty and we like it. and we try to keep it up to date.
Admire it with us.
Yeah, just admire it. Just look at it. But no, you can go there and get to our store and be able to get merch if you want. And we're always trying to figure out like new things to put up there and see. So let us know if there's something specifically that you're like, ooh, I like that logo. I'd like to see that logo on something like this and we'll see what we can do. But other than that, until next time.
Bye.
I am here with my kiddos, Oliver and Emma. Say hi.
Hi.
We are talking today about the doctrine of sin, and I wanted to ask you guys a couple of questions about sin, okay? Mm-hmm. So let's do that. Oliver, can you tell me what is sin?
Well, sin is like selfishness.
Selfishness? Mm-hmm. Okay, loving what you want most. Mm-hmm. That's what selfishness is, right? Just mm-hmm. caring about what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think that's. Emma, what do you think sin is?
I think it's like stopping trust, like you stop trusting God and you only trust your own heart and go your own path instead of God's path, which is the better path.
Yeah. Do you think we are born? Are we born sinners, or are we born just kind of like with neutral hearts?
We're born with sick with sin hearts.
Sick with sin hearts. Ollie, would you say that?
Yes.
We're born with sick with sin hearts. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if we are born with hearts that are sick with sin, what does that make us?
Well, it makes us sinners.
Okay, so how did we become, how are we born sinners? Like, what happened?
When Adam and Eve took a bite of the fruit, they became sick with sin. They had sick with sin hearts. And when they had children, they passed that sin down to them, which created a sinful world.
Yeah. So because of that, our entire world is full of sin and sinful people, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Oliver, what is the good news, though? Because that doesn't sound like very good news to me.
The news is like, I actually don't know what you mean by that.
That's okay. There's good news, right? Like, what did God do? Because he said that he was going to defeat sin forever, right? So how did he do that?
Oh, he died on the cross and saved sinners.
Well, he sent a son, Jesus, right? Yeah, to die on the cross and save sinners. And we're all sinners, right? So those who love and trust him, he takes away their sick heart. And what does he give them?
He gives them a healthy heart, a clean heart.
He gives them a clean heart. He gives them a healthy heart. One that sees him as most valuable and not their self, right?
Yes.
Hey, thanks for talking to me about sin.
You're welcome, Mommy.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Grow in Grace podcast. You can find us at growingracepodcast.com for links to all of our social medias, resources we suggest, and to listen to previous episodes. We hope you can join us next time as we strive together to grow in grace.